loved us, don't you? He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a Savior. When we think about the love of God, I want to preach on that this morning. I want you to look with me. New Testament, the book of 1 John, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 1 John, chapter number 3. Begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to underline that first phrase, "Behold, what manner of love." And I want to preach on that thought this morning. Behold, what manner of love. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We know You love us. Thank You for that. And thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You gave Your only begotten Son. Lord, in our midst this morning, there may be those here that heard of Thee, but they've never trusted Thee. Or there may be those that are here that have been a part of a church, but they've never come to faith in Christ. We realize that and we recognize that. And I pray that today that You would deal with their life and help them to see that it's about a personal relationship with Christ. And Lord, there are those of us that have trusted Thee as Savior. But Lord, sometimes we allow ourselves to get a little indifferent. And I pray that today, when we think about the manner of love that You've bestowed upon us, Lord, that it'll spark something in us to help us to serve Thee in a greater way. Help me as I stand to preach. I know my inabilities, and I know my failures. And Lord, I know that the only way that I can stand and preach in power and in truth is through the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that that precious Holy Spirit would somehow, some way use me today to accomplish what You would have accomplished in the time of preaching. And Lord, when it comes time to make a decision, I pray that each of us would respond in a way that's pleasing to Thee, would be obedient. And Lord, we would act upon that which You've placed in our heart to do. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When you read the book of 1 John, you need to realize some things as you read through it. It's things I think that are important to help you to understand what this whole epistle is about. First of all, I want you to understand that this epistle is written to believers. It's written to those that know the Lord, and it's written to encourage people during some very, very difficult times. John, no doubt, had seen so much. John had been with the Lord, and he saw as the Lord was crucified. He saw the life of the Lord. He heard instructions directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? The relationship that John, the beloved, had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God uses John as a great instrument to the people of His day, but not only to them, but all down through the ages. John had seen the persecution of believers and of the church, and he was writing this to believers to help them to understand what we need to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ and things that we ought to know. If I were to begin and go through this epistle, this first epistle, I would tell you over and over again that John uses the word know, and he wants us to know some things that are very important. That is, honestly, things that we need to realize when we look and see everything that he has to say. For instance, he says here in chapter 2, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, "Hereby that he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments." Verse number 5, the very last verse, says, "Hereby know we that we are in Him." You could go on and you could look in verse 20 and it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And over again in verse 29, it's given to us twice. And in verse chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, we know that when he shall appear. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifest. John is writing to those that know some things, and he says, I want you to know more. It's great that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, but because you are saved, there's so much more you can know. And John had seen so many different things. He had watched as the church was persecuted, as the believers were martyred for the cause of Christ, and they were ridiculed and imprisoned because of their faith. When you read this, you're going to find out that his writings are black and white. There's no gray. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't try to confuse you. He writes it just as God has given it to him through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he writes here in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, he says, behold. In other words, he says, look at this. Gaze upon it. See this. Take note of it. Fix your eyes. Behold, what manner of love. There's no greater love than God's love. If you've never experienced the love of God, then you're missing out on what love is truly all about. For God did so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first mention of this love of love in the Bible is found all the way back in the book of the beginnings in Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 2, when the Bible says, talking about Abraham and Isaac, and he said, take now thy son, the Lord says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So the first mention we find of love is the love between a father and son. And Abraham being a type of God and Isaac being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham's a type of the Father and Isaac is a type of the Son. The Holy Father and the Holy Son, you understand? And we see that the first mention of love, we find that the Father is willing to sacrifice His Son. His only Son, the Son whom He loves. He's willing to take Him up to Mount Moriah. And literally, He takes Him up to the mountain, and as He has Him out there carrying the wood and having everything ready for the sacrifice, and it's just the Father and the Son, Isaac, looks at the Father, and He says, we have the wood, we have everything we need, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, God will provide Himself. Lamb. And he lays Isaac on the altar with great faith in God. And as Isaac is laying there without speaking a word or saying a word or refusing, because he has faith that his father knows God and he's doing what God would have him to do, Isaac is laying on the altar, and Abraham takes a dagger and he takes his hand back as though he's ready to take the life of his son, believing that if he were to take Isaac's life, that God would raise him again. And as he draws back, God says, stop. I know that you're willing to follow me. And I know that you're willing to do what I would have you to do. There's a ram in the thicket, and that becomes the sacrifice. The next time we see the word love mentioned, we find it in chapter number 24. And I want you to look with me in verse number 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The second time we see the word, Isaac has to deal with the bride loving the groom. Now, don't that just move you? Doesn't that cover the whole story? God loves the world and was willing to give His only begotten Son. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He was dying for His bride. It was dying that all who believe might become a part of the family of God, would become the bride of Christ. We see all of this, we see it all given to us in these two first mentions of love in the Bible. It sums it all up that God is love. John was writing, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And all throughout the Bible, we see this love, because, and we understand that there's no other love like the love of God. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3, the Bible says it is an everlasting love. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 8, it's an unconditional love. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 and 19, it's an incomprehensible love. In John chapter 3 verse 16, it drew salvation's plan. In John chapter 15 and verse number 13, it took Calvary in stride. And then in Romans chapter number 8, 31 through 39, it's a love which no power on earth, no power in heaven, no power in hell, no height, no depth, no man, nor any other creature is able to take away from us. There's no other love like God's love. There's nothing else that can change your life like the love of the Lord. And as we look at this, John says in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold what manner of love." And as we behold this manner of love that the Father bestowed upon us, there's some things that we can see. And I want us to look together just for a few moments this morning. I want you to understand that as we behold, as we look upon, as we fix our eyes upon, as we gaze upon this manner of love, I want you to see, first of all, that we are what we are because of this love. Notice what the Bible says. Chapter 3, verse number 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We are what we are because of the love of God. The Gospel of John, same man writing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, John chapter number 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." This morning, when you've experienced the love of God, when you have had the love of God change your life, you are what you are because of that love. And the Bible says that we are the sons of God. Behold what manner of love, that we should be called the sons of God. And the moment that we trusted Christ, we became the sons of God. God's family is our family. Dear friends, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're outside the fold. You're outside of the family. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. And there's so many that have a head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. There are many that believe that Jesus died, but there's never been a day in their life where they were willing to admit themselves a sinner and understand that He's the Savior and ask the Lord to forgive their sin and by faith trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. The love of God is there for you and it's been extended to you. And when you're willing to understand this, when you're willing to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you too can say, "We are what we are because of the love of God." You can be a part of this great family. You can be a part of the great family of God. This morning, all around this city, there are churches meeting where there's people that's part of this family. There'll be places that you're going to go tomorrow that you'll meet somebody. You can meet somebody that's part of this family. And we're going to the same place, the same heaven. Isn't that great? But you're not going to go through any other way than the blood of Christ. No other way. It's Christ and Christ alone. See, there's one way, but there's three ways that we get into a family here in this world. You're either born into it. I was born into the Shelton family. You're adopted into it. And some of you have had that privilege in your life. You've either adopted or you've been adopted. Or you are married into a family. And the Bible teaches us about all three of these. And God uses all three of these to bring us into His family. The Bible teaches us that we're born again in John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, when the Bible says, "Verily, verily," Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So the way that you're saved today is by being born again. And when you're born again, you become a part of the family of God. Another description is given to us in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, and verse number 14 and 15. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In other words, God becomes our Father because we've been adopted into the family of God. In Romans chapter number 7 and in verse number 4, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead." Talking about Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So the Bible is helping us to understand that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again into the family of God, we are adopted into the family of God, and we are married into the family of God. You understand that when we trust the Lord, we are what we are because of this love. There's no doubt Miss Judy this morning was going around with the cell phone, and on that cell phone was a picture of a little baby. That's just a week and a half old, I guess. 4 weeks old? 4 days. A little baby. And so proud. And I want to tell you something. That baby's already loved by that family. You know? Loved. Now, some of you have adopted children, or you are an adopted child, and you see somebody go, and they love that child. They want to bring that child and let that child be a part of the family. 19 years ago, I met well, 21 years ago, I met a girl. And I fell in love with that girl. Her name was Jody. Just want to get that straight. And I'll never forget asking her to be my bride. And she was married into our family. I became a part of her family, and she became part of my family. Love. Behold, what manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. I'm part of the family of God. This love that we're to look at, this love that we're to gaze upon, this love that we're to see will help us to understand that we are what we are. We are God's family, and we're placed alongside the people of faith. I think about these great people of the New Testament. I think about Peter and James and John. I think about Paul. I think about Mary. And I think about these great men and women of the New Testament that we read about. I think about young Rhoda, as we talked about her the other night. Probably a teenage girl. And I think about how great a people they were. And we read of them in the New Testament. We have an understanding that these were great people of faith. And they're mentioned over and over and over again. But I want you to understand that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're placed alongside of people just like that. And you're born into the same family, going to the same heaven, and enjoy the same privileges. We are what we are because of this love. The second thing I want you to see is, we should do what we do because of this love. Notice what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore," the very last phrase, "therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." We should do what we do because of the love of God. And this is helping us to understand that the things that we do should identify us with the Lord. The world knows us not because it knew him not. The world's not going to understand why we do things. The world's not going to just say, you know, to take great recognition of us because we belong to the Lord. See, it's difficult in any time and in the day that we're living because there's ridicule, there's persecution, there's discrimination. There's no doubt about that. And the Bible helps us to understand that the world's not going to understand us. The world knoweth us not. It doesn't understand us because it didn't understand him. But that should not keep us from doing what we ought to do for the Lord. Because if we're going to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to do what He tells us to do and not what the world tells us to do. Just like we talked about in our Sunday school, there's a conflict between the reasoning of men and the wisdom of God. And the reasoning of men says do what seems to feel right and what makes you accepted. But the wisdom of God says do what the book says. And the book tells us some things. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians we're to be a separated people. When we decide we're going to live a separated lifestyle, we're going to live a life that we believe that the Lord Jesus would be pleased with, then the world doesn't understand that. When we don't consume certain things, when we don't go certain places, when we don't act certain ways, when we don't say certain words, the world thinks we're crazy. But we should do what we do because of this love. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth and he said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." What ought to motivate us? Our motive today ought to be this love that God has for us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We are what we are. If you're saved today, you are what you are because of this love. Look at this love. See what it's done in your life. And because of what it's done, we should do what we do because of this love. Everything we do ought to come out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In church, when you sing, you ought to sing because you love the Lord. If you're up here to be seen, then sit down. But if you're up here for Him to be seen, then stay up here and sing away. If you're going to teach a Sunday school, it ought to be to honor the Lord. I want you to understand this. From the itty-bitty babies in the nursery all the way through the adults, it's so important that you do what you do because of the love that God has put in your life. We are what we are because of this love, and we should do what we do because of this love. And the Bible says we're to be separated. In other words, the world's not going to understand us because we separate ourselves. And look, we insulate, but we don't isolate. Does that make sense to you? We insulate ourselves from the world, but we don't isolate because we're to go out into the world and tell the world about Jesus. A lot of people tell you, you know, you just don't, just you know, have nothing to do with them. Well, I'm not going to go to the bars. And I'm not going to go, you know, into crack houses and stuff like that. But I am to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature is what the Bible says. You know, Paul says, "I became all things to all men." But he wasn't talking about he became a drunk because of the drunkards. He became a drug addict because of the drug addicts. He was saying that he was willing to go and to communicate with all men. And to be able to talk with them and to reveal to them the love of God. That's what it means to become all things to all men. You don't become a sinner to reach a sinner. We're born sinners. But you don't commit sin so that you can reach somebody. That's terrible. We're to be separated. The Bible also says we're called to present our bodies. You remember what the Bible says? I beseech you, Paul's writing to the church of Corinthians, church at Rome, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." We're not going to prove the will of God to the people of this world if we're not willing to present ourselves a living sacrifice. If we're busy living for self, then we're not living for the Lord the way we ought to live for the Lord. And the world doesn't understand that. When the world sees us trying to live for the Lord and trust Him without great concern for self, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. We concern ourselves with our family, trying to raise our family right. But when they see it, they just don't understand that. And then there's another place in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, when verse 15 and 16, where the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So we're told to love not the world. Now when that says love not the world, that does not mean mankind. That means worldliness, sinfulness, ungodliness. Love not the worldliness, neither the things that are in the world, the things that are surrounded by the sin. If we do, then the love of the Father is not in us. In other words, we're to love the Lord and to live for the Lord. And we begin to see this. Well, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand that we're more interested in being in the house of God than being on a golf course, or being on a lake, or being in the woods on the Lord's day. They don't understand that you know, it's our only day off, and we go to church instead of sitting around the house and saying, well, it's my only day off in a week. They don't understand that. But when you fall in love with Jesus, you love His church, and you want to be a part of it. And there's something special about it. So we should do what we do because of love. And then finally, we are what we are because of the love of God. We should do what we do because of the love of God. And number three, we shall be what we shall be because of the love of God. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number two. Beloved, now. By the way, before we go any further, you're not going to be the sons of God when you die. If you've trusted the Lord, now are we the sons of God. Do you realize the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that at that very moment you were born again into the family of God. At that very moment you were adopted into the family of God. At that very moment you were married into the family of God. Now. John says to these believers, now. We don't have to wait. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. I'm glad that John says through the inspiration of the Spirit of God that we can know something. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as we is. As He is. We shall be what we shall be because of the love that the Father's bestowed upon us. Now, what does that include? It was kind of like a child with a present. Have to wait and see. I don't know how everything that is going to be like. But I do know when birthday time comes around, or especially Christmas time comes around, you know, what happens a lot of times is put presents out. Birthday, you know, you don't put the presents out. Christmas time you do, right? How many of y'all put Christmas presents out around Christmas time? Lay them out. How many of y'all have children that you have presents for around? Children, grandchildren that see those presents. How many? 3, 4, 5, 7, 10, 15. All right. Y'all getting hold of this. Those kids, they just go by and they never look at them. You don't live in my house. And my kids go in there and they... You know, it's like, I wonder what this could be. You know? They put it on a list, you know, figure it out. But anyway, there's... They go and they get excited about it, you know, and they'll say, sometimes when they don't figure it out, and it makes me mad when they do, but when they don't figure it out, we usually try to have something that they don't really know. And they shake it, and they... feel of it. They try to figure it out. And sometimes they're not as bad now as they used to be. They say, come on, what is it? What is it? You know what you say? What is it that you tell them? Have to wait and see. I don't understand everything about heaven. And I don't ever understand everything about what it's going to be like to be like Him. But my Bible says that I'm going to be like Him. And I'm excited about it. Sometimes I go through this life and I feel His presence right there. And I think, I can't wait. This is going to be good. One of these days, because of this love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, we shall be what we shall be. And the thing I know about that is that I'm going to be able to look upon His face and behold Him, because I'm going to be like Him. I'll see Him as He is, in His holiness and in His glory and His purity and His righteousness.
The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, I'll have a body likened to His glorious body. In other words, incorruptible and immortal, invincible, eternal. The Bible's helped me to understand that when I get there and I'm like Him, I'll never grow old and I'll never get sick and I'll never die and I'll never sin again. That's what I'm going to be like. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm so good, but because He loves me. And He gave Himself for me, and I trusted Him with my life. And I gave my heart to Jesus. Now I belong to Him, and He belongs to me. Not for the days of time alone, but for all eternity. And one day, I'm going to be with Him. And I'll see Him as He is. This morning, may I ask you this question? Do you see this love? Have you trusted this love? Look, being religious won't cut it. Being baptized won't do it. Joining the church won't make it happen. You must be born again. You must trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. You must know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you've put your faith in Christ. Nothing else. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you've trusted Christ? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? 100% sure? Can anybody be that sure? I'm going to close with 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John's writing, as he finishes writing this book to these believers, he writes this: "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God." That's trusting Christ by faith. Believe in what He did. Believe on. Then look at this. "That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You can know. You can be 100% sure that you're going to heaven today. And you can know that you have eternal life. How can you know? Because God loves you that much. And He showed His love by sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. He didn't just die on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and He rose again the third day. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And this is what He said: "Whosoever will may come." You say, "I'm not good enough." You're right. I've done too many bad things. Probably true. I can't hold on. You don't have to be good enough. You have to realize He's good enough. He'll forgive you of what you've done. And you don't have to hold on to Him because He holds on to you. You understand? He places you in His hand and in His Father's hand. He says that He and His Father are one. And they take care of us. He said that when we trust Him, that we have eternal life. Everlasting life. It's a present possession. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you have everlasting life. You get it when you trust Jesus. That's love, isn't it? I have two children. I love them dearly. They're good kids. But they're not perfect. They'll tell you they're not perfect. I'm not trying to reveal some unknown to anybody. Because none of us are perfect. There's times they've done things that they weren't supposed to do. And when they did, they didn't cease to become my children at that instant, did they?
they remained mine. You know why? They were born into my family. They're my kids. They're mine. When they're 30 and 40 years old, they're going to be my kids. They'll never cease to be my children. Well, do you think I'm a better father than God the Father is? That when you become a part of His family, just because you make a mistake, you mess up, and it may be something big. Do you think that He would say, no longer my family? That'd be about foolish, wouldn't it? Because when you're born again, you're born into the family of God. When you're adopted, you realize that all the rights are that you'll always belong to that family. That's the laws of adoption. God knew what He was doing when He put these things in the book. Doesn't mean that you have a license to sin, because when my children do wrong, they get punished. And when God's children do wrong, He too will chastise them, punish them. It's not a license to sin. But being a part of God's family is a liberty to live and to have freedom and peace and joy because of this love. Behold, what manner of love. Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. We think about this love that the Father's bestowed upon us. I hope that you've experienced this love and you've been saved. John 3:16, I know we've mentioned it 3 or 4 times. It's so true though, for God so loved the world. And you are part of those that He loved. For God so loved, and you can put your name in there. If I were saying it about myself, for God so loved Joe Shelton that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him, if Joe Shelton believes in Him, he'll not perish but have everlasting life. Are you willing to, by faith, trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary? If you're here today and you're trusting anything else other than salvation by grace through faith, I want you to know it's not good enough. You must know Jesus Christ by grace through faith. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've done that. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But are we doing what we do because of this love? Is it the love of Christ that constrains us or motivates us? Are we living our life by beholding His love? By looking at how much He loves us and doing what we do and letting His love in our life move us to doing the things that we need to do. And then we can rejoice in the fact that we will be what we're going to be because of this love. I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to have that immortal body living in an eternal place called heaven and enjoy the presence of the Lord throughout all eternity. And that ought to motivate me too. That ought to help me to do what I should do. If you're here today as the piano begins to play, let me ask you just a couple of questions. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not perfect, but I know I have put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I were to die today, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because He's good and I've trusted Him. I've trusted Christ. If that's you this morning, as a testimony, would you raise your hand? I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm saved. Would you keep your hands raised just for a moment, please? God bless you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. If you couldn't raise your hand right then, how about right now? I want you to behold this love. I want you to think about it. Think about how much God loves you and all that He's done for you. How He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. How He said that if you'd come to Him by faith, that He would save you and give you eternal life. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, if you're here today and you don't have peace about your soul, about salvation, about heaven, right now would you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have peace that heaven's going to be my home. But I do know that I desire your prayers and I desire the prayers of others. Would you pray for me? Would there be one? I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. That's me. I know God loves me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you. Would there be another this morning? Pray for me. Preacher, I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved. please pray for me? How many of us would be honest enough this morning to say, Preacher, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but I realize I just need to fall in love with Jesus all over again, or more. I need to fall more in love with Him. And I want to pray. I want you to pray with me about this. By the way, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to pray for me. I want to be more in love with Him. Pray for me about that, would you please? But how many would say, Preacher, would you pray for me about this? I need to fall in love with Him all over again, or more and more with Him. Pray for me, Preacher. That's me. I'm saved, but I just need a greater relationship. Would you lift your hand right now, Preacher? That's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you so much. Oh, I think, honestly, we all need to fall in love with Him more. No doubt. Father, please have your way. There are those here today that need to make some decisions for Thee. Lord, they've trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, we're not allowing that love to help us to do what we should do. Lord, may we be identified with Christ. May we be separated, and Lord, may we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And Lord, may we not fall in love with the world, but Lord, may we love You the way we should love You. And I pray for those that are here that do not know for sure that heaven's going to be their home. I pray that today would be the day that they come and trust Christ. Put their faith in the finished work of Calvary. Get it settled once and for all that they're on their way to heaven, so that they can live the victorious Christian life that You have for them to live here, now. Lord, may Thy will be done in this time of invitation. What's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly please stand to our feet.